Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is Radio City Talk.
Let's have a chat with a man who is undertaking a quite incredible challenge. For 22 days, he's going to be walking 26 miles every day, carrying 60 pounds on his back as well. His name is John Sarbutt. Morning to you, John.
Morning.
And your history is being in the army.
Yeah.
So how many years were you in the army?
17 years I've been in the army for.
Right. You're still in the army at the moment. You joined at the tender age of 17, so it's pretty much all you know, isn't it?
Yeah.
The army provided you with various sort of challenges, didn't it? Were you ever prepared for what lay ahead when you started your army career?
No, not mentally, no. Nobody could ever be mentally prepared. No, not at all. You seem to think you are, but no. You can never be mentally prepared for what you're going to go and do and see.
And yet you put through all these sort of tough training regimes, these incredible preparation exercises. They don't really give you the full preparation for being put into a combat situation.
I don't think you ever can. I don't think you ever can, in my eyes. I don't think you ever can. You do get that. You do train. You do a lot of training before you go out there, but mentally, you can never be ready for what anybody goes through.
Tell us the tours that you were involved in.
I've been to Kosovo, Sierra Leone, Afghanistan, Iraq, Northern Ireland, Cyprus and the likes.
Right, so you've pretty much seen everything. And the reason you're in here and the reason that you're doing this charity fundraiser is all your time served in the army, you suffered quite extensively with post-traumatic stress disorder afterwards.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on at first because about 3 years ago I started hitting the bottle, alcohol misuse, and isolating myself from drinking. Mm. And so it was only Easter this year, May time this year, where I got diagnosed with PTSD. And it took me a while to sink in, because as soon as I mentioned I got sectioned, as soon as I mentioned mental health issues, I sort of went into myself then. And then it took me a good arm wrestle then to arm wrestle with the doctors. They was telling me I've got mental health issues. So that's what scared me. But it's nothing to be ashamed of. PTSD is serious. So if you don't deal with it right, there's only one way you're going to go. That's into destruction. That's what I had to do, to turn myself around.
Well, where does it stretch back to? Where did this start, do you think? Was it one of those tours that was particularly worse than another?
In my situation, it stems back from Sierra Leone. Some of the things that I've seen in Sierra Leone. And it's just stemmed since then.
What were you sent out there to do?
We was out there when the war was on, when the war broke out. We was out there as peacekeepers and just to keep the peace and protect the locals around Freetown, the airfield. And things got pretty tricky out there.
How distressing were some of the things you saw or had to deal with?
At the time, I didn't think it bothered me. But this is what confused me, because it was like it's like 17 years past or 16 years past since them events over there. And eventually, they've always been there with me, I've been told. They've always been with me and they've caught up with me. There's some of the sights that I've seen.
I mean, there's so many servicemen who serve around the world who perhaps have seen similar sights who, like you, think they're tough enough and strong enough to deal with it.
Yeah, that's the whole point. That's why I want to get this out there, and I'm going to start moving about and helping people. Because it's nothing to be afraid of. You've just got to stand up to it and then just start talking. Go and see a local doctor, whoever you need to see. Just start talking. And then there is help out there for everybody.
Well, particularly in the Northwest, I know we have a large population of former servicemen, don't we? Or even people who are currently serving in the army, particularly here in Liverpool as well. Networks are set up already, aren't they?
Yeah.
But I think this sort of highlighting of the extent of PTSD is so important to make sure it's constantly out there.
Yeah.
Because there's always someone else, isn't there, who, like you, 17 years on, 20 years on, is realising the sort of depth in which they've been sort of put under.
Yeah. That's why I'm doing it for combat stress, because combat stress, they actually deal with people who's veterans for the forces. So that's the Army, the Air Force or the Navy. And they could have been like 20 years out of service, 30 years out of service, and there is help out there for them people who are sitting there now and just ignoring it like I did, really. Even when I got told I had alcohol, I was an alcoholic. I actually got labelled an alcoholic. Mm. And I knew deep down I was an alcoholic. But there was something else going on, but I sort of jumped on that to hide away from the real issue. And that's where it took me to a point where I didn't want to be here. I had suicidal thoughts. I'd written letters. I had my suicide plan, so I'd just disappear off the face of the planet. No one will see me again. But luckily for me, I got saved. I got saved and I've got the right help, the right diagnosis. I'm on the right track now. I'm not a fan of Finnish article. I don't think I'll ever be in Finnish article. But if I can get a peaceful as place as possible, that's all I want this moment in time.
You were close to calling it a day.
Yeah, yeah. I've written letters. The almost suicide letters we've written. I actually planned to go to Dover and jump off the cliffs of Dover one night and just do it, not in the daytime, do it at night time so nobody could see me and I'll just disappear. That's what I planned.
But what stopped you?
I got caught out. I written my letters were written and I was on backup base and I went for a shower. One of my colleagues come in my room. He was on duty on the Saturday, come in my room. Seen the letters. He knew my background, so he knew my family. Seen the letters, couldn't find me. Flapped and sent the search party, and that's when they come found me. Well, I come back in my room and it was getting dry, and that's when the action started. Then I got whisked to hospital, straight to sectioned, and that's when the treatment started.
Did you try and fight against that?
Yeah,
there and then.
I actually, believe it or not, they took me to the hospital. And when they left me at the hospital, I actually snuck out of the hospital and went back to camp to get my stuff. Because in my mind, I was that set. I was like a robot. I was tuned. It was like sat nav. I went back to camp and I was only on camp for 5 minutes. And the police come and got me, took me back to hospital. And that's when I got sectioned straight away.
I mean, everyone's situation is very different, isn't it? And I'm sure, I just wonder what percentage go through a similar sort of post-traumatic stress disorder like yourself later on.
Yeah.
Within their sort of career or life?
I'm not too sure the percentage, but the way I look at it, I was talking to two guys in Preston who were homeless before I started doing this challenge. When I started getting my help and I bought them a drink and some bits and bobs and was chatting to them. And then one was Navy, one was ex-RAF, and they're vets. They were vets. And it sort of shocked me a little bit thinking, well, why are you out here doing this? Why are you just... So not straight away, but as my time went on in my recovery and I thought I'm going to do this, that's when I thought, well, I'm lucky, I'm getting the help. That could be me in 10 years' time. That could be me in 15 years' time. But I'm still getting the help now. So that's why I've decided to do it for combat stress. And I just want to get up there now and start helping other people, just push them in the right direction.
What's been the network around you that's really helped you? Your wife?
My partner, Sandy.
Yeah.
Sandy and the kids. Everybody and my sister and family, but mainly me partner Sandy and the kids. They've all been really helpful and supportive, and if it weren't for Sandy, and I don't know what I'd be like now, I'll be honest with you. She's a diamond, an absolute diamond.
Might have been a very different story. Right, from all this came the idea to do this challenge. Whose idea was the challenge? Your own?
It was my own idea. Yeah, I was.
So why 26 miles and why 22 days?
Because during my recovery, when I started my treatment, there was the 22 press-ups challenge going around the social media. And I seen it and I got a few mentions. And then when I got nominated to do it, I started doing it. And I thought, and it was the same time when I met them two young lads, well, the people in Preston. And I thought, well, I need to do something here. So the 22 days was set. And then I thought, well, I'll do it that. And I wanted to make it a little bit harder. So try and get a bit more awareness. So that's why I put the weight on. So the average is about £60 in weight you carry out on ops. So,
which is the equivalent of what?
A young... Your weapon. Yeah.
Young baby. No, a bit more. Young child.
Yeah.
5-year-old.
Yeah, it could be.
Something like that. So you're carrying this 5-year-old. It's 26 miles.
Yeah.
You're starting at Langtree Park.
Yeah.
And you're walking to where?
To Fulwood Barracks at Preston.
Right, so you're going to go there and back?
Back, there and back, yeah.
There and back.
Alternate for 22 days,
right,
yeah.
22 days.
Start at 9 o'clock this Sunday, and then I'm going to be finishing at 12 o'clock midday on the 27th at Langtree Park.
Have you done a test walk already?
I've done a few. I've done a few, yeah.
Comfortable?
Yeah. It's going to hurt, but that's what it's there for.
Right, all in a great cause as well. You've got a Just Giving page set up, so just give a plug if anyone wants to find a little bit more information or support what you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you very
much. So what is that page? Oh, is it just / John Sarbutt?
Oh,
is
it's
that
just,
how
if you just
find
go
it?
And just give in, it's just type in John Sarbutt's 22 Marathons Trek.
And it should
pop up there then, yeah.
I bet you can't wait till it finishes.
Well, I don't know about me or me or Sandy. One of between both of us, I think Sandy's more keen for it to finish than me.
Is she your support? Is she going to be there every sort of step of the way
in
the car?
More or less. She's going to be there with me. She just wants to be back in sort of some kind of state, body wise. But that's what it's there for. The harder we make it, the more awareness we're going to get out there. So.
And I presume a few sort of soldier mates and that are getting involved, there's
a few guys going to join us on a different days whenever they can. I've had a few messages, people, but anybody can come and join me any day if they want. They don't have to carry weight. They want to come and walk a mile and just they can come and walk a mile. It's more make it easier for me.
You can carry John's 60 pounds. He'll let you do that. Right, it's a brilliant challenge. 22 days, 26 miles each day, carrying 60 pounds. And it all starts at Langtree Park on the 6th of November. It's the day after Bonfire Day. What time are you going off? Do you say 9?
9 o'clock.
Nine in the morning. Right, get down there, support John. Brilliant stuff. Thanks for coming in, John.
Thank you very much. Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.